there, because I've been thinking about that first verse and how that first verse in Psalm 91 is the key to a lot of things. I'll be talking about a lot about David. Thank you so much, Sister Buki. I'll be talking a lot about David because I've been reading 1st and 2nd Samuel and now the Kings. And I knew fascinated at the man David, and I'd been pondering why the man was as successful as he was as a child and a friend of God. And I'd been praying that, Lord, please teach me the secret of David. You know how we recite and quote the Psalms? And if you are going to admit it, many times it doesn't work for you. Let's not deceive ourselves. It maketh me to lie down beside still waters. As you drive through 495, your soul is not exactly still. As you encounter your jobs every day. But it worked for David. Why? You know, when a man gives you directions, and they start the direction from take exit 13 on 495. Where is 495? It's used, imagine I've done it before. You are traveling and your GPS in those days. I was using my phone GPS. And then there was no data. Reception just went out. And I was in the middle of nowhere on the highway. So ultimately, I had to keep driving until reception came back. So at some point, as we look into the law of God, you have to admit where you are and also admit that at times there's a disconnect. You have to admit that what has been true for Moses, hard as you have tried at times, has not been true for you. Now, the church mostly wants us to forget that and just keep doing the same thing and hoping to get the same result. That is what they call the definition of insanity. If God doesn't change, his words are yea and amen, then within his word must be the secret key. No wonder the Bible talks about the key of David. The key of David. Who was this Davidi? What was it that this man had that in 20 minutes we can learn from? Why would a man say, the Lord has rewarded you according to my righteousness? Why will he say, he will deliver me from the noisome pestilence? And you better believe God delivered him from noisome pestilences. Everything he said, he meant it, and it was true. So I'm praying that this morning the Lord will help us as a people to see some of the key things, the gaps in understanding and knowledge, the to-dos that will help us be before the Lord as David is. There's this, at the risk of being in unadvised company, there's this very popular saying by the spiritualists in Africa that if you do it the way it's supposed to be done, then you will get the result that you're supposed to get. And I've been praying. I've been saying, Lord, what is it in my life that will not let me have the full experience of this word? Have you had the courage to pray the prayer? But let's talk about David. Psalm 91, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High, I think this was a psalm of David, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That whole promise that Shade made us recite this morning is premised on a condition. Fala Shade. Once we have the key of David, and thank God David gave us the key in the first verse. He first started in a generic way. He, anyone. Then because he had dwelt in the secret place of the Most High, he began to say what it is that God did for him. He is my refuge. And please read again gently the second of Samuel and the latter part of the first of Samuel. This man called David. I'd like to read a few things about David. Let's open our Bible to 2 Samuel chapter 6. Father, please help us, dear Lord. It is so easy to speak these things, Lord. But Father, you gave to us your word as a lamp and as a light. You give freely to every heart that thirsts. None of us can discern this. But you said, God, that faith will come by hearing. And when we hear, by your word. Father, tonight I pray that your word will unlock revelation and faith. You say, he that is willing, let him receive. Paraventure, Father, their hearts prepared to receive by the Holy Spirit this morning, Lord. We are all men. You turn on the light and we speak. You use a donkey to speak your word. I bless you, O Father, for the privilege to speak your word. I bless you, Lord. But only you can open the eyes. Only you can help us. At times we know, and still we cannot do. Father, everybody here is so in need of your touch. Every soul that you have called is so in need of your spirit. We can do nothing beside you. Let our hearts receive with gladness. Bless us in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. Amen.
Amen.
So I began to say, we all know the story of David. So I'm not going to make us read long passages. I'll just pick portions. And I began to notice some peculiar things about David that we could emulate. Here was a boy, a little shepherd boy, unknown in Israel. He was such a small boy, even his own brothers did not acknowledge him. Remember when Nathan also was sent to his father's house, the house of Jesse? They had actually forgotten that there was one son left. He was the most insignificant boy in the house of Jesse. I ask myself, the key of David, why his brothers were getting enrolled in Saul's army? He was too young to serve. What was David doing? Why his friends were playing at high jump and catapulting or whatever they played at in those days? I don't know, maybe it's sheep chasing. David was doing something because 2 years after the fact, this unknown boy spoke remarkable things. Of all the guys who went to boot camp, Saul's boot, the man was so young, he couldn't even carry Saul's armor. So I don't know, can you guess at what his age might have been? If I tell Ali to come and carry, Ali will carry 3. I don't care how big Saul was. Soji will carry it. So he might have been younger than Ali and Soji. He was 12. I mean, what age is so young as a boy that you can't carry an armor? Pretty young. But he had a catapult. In the time when his mates were afraid to kill live chicken, the man was already killing lions with catapult. He was not old enough to be licensed a gun. He was below drinking age. And one thing I noticed was, he killed his lion in secret. Because the brothers, obviously, if they had known he was a lion killer, they wouldn't have been surprised that he wanted to go and face Goliath, right? The secret of David. While his mates were playing at games, this man was busy knowing God. He did not start after he became a king. Now, my question though is this. How do you spend your spare time? He that dwells, the Lord convicted me with verses like this, in the secret place. Second Samuel chapter 6, verse 9. Let's go to verse 9 yet. I want to point out something that he said that struck me. You know, this happened when they came back to David, and the Lord said to him, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless your whole house. And he just shows me a secret of how David spent his time. And he said, oh, yeah, thank you. That was after he declared he wanted to build a house in chapter 7. He said he wanted to build a house for the Lord. Please read it at home. And the Lord said, oh, the prophet said, I think we've talked about it. He said, whatever, you know, we have fantastic projects that we want to do for God, right? And David was like that. He had fantastic projects. That was the kind of man he was. He said, look, behold, I sit in my sealed home, decorated home, and the house of my master lays in waste. There's a lot of lesson to be learned from that statement, but let's leave that alone for now. He said, Ark of the Covenant lies in a tent, rather. So he said, I'm going to build a house. The Lord said, no, do not build a house. Your son will build a house. And the Lord began to say to David, this is what I'm going to do for you. I will bless your son. I will establish. And he says something. Lord, your acts have been great, even as we have read from our fathers. Here was a man who was quite familiar with the dealings and the greatness of God. While his mates were playing at earthly things, were getting trained for military and all of that, David was meditating upon the acts of the Lord. He said, teach this to your children and your children's children. The secret place, the secret thing, it was building up the heart. The key to many things in Christ is how we spend our personal time. And you might have tried, I know a lot of Christians have tried a lot of ways. You've attended big seminars, you've read giant books, you've attended all the prayer meetings in the world, and there's a certain weariness coming upon you, it's not working. I think more than what we do in the open, what you do with your spare time will tell how far you can go. David was not for sure. His knowledge of God was not so that he could preach. It was not so that people could see him. The man thought nothing of killing bears and lions. And if you hear what is said to Goliath, think about it. Say, how dare you defile the army of the living God? Righteous indignation. And he took a little catapult. I don't think David had confidence in a catapult. I think actually he said it. He said, the same God who killed the lion and the bear for me will be the same God that will kill you. It doesn't matter how big the army is. When you know who is on your side, Sister Shandy mentioned it. Shandy Wells. Yeah. No, if you know how big God is, who is with you, if you key in to his secret place, Goliath will come falling down. But the job is in that secret place. What does a man who dwells in God's secret place look like? I'd like to give two examples, and there are lots. The scripture is replete. The Bible is replete with examples. Now, may we not be of a generation that speaks Christian words, but never experience Christian power. The Bible talks about those who speak the words, but it's devoid of the power. What I want, I don't care how personally small or big I am. Oh, I want to be a friend of Jesus at all times. I want to have that quiet confidence at all times. There are so many things. I just challenge you to read this life, the life of David. So let's go to chapter 6 now. And this is the story of when the Ark of the Covenant was being brought into Jerusalem. You know the story of David. He had ruled for 7 years in Hebron. And finally, the whole of Israel was united under him. So he went and he said, he conquered what they call, used to call Zion, the city of David, which ended up being Jerusalem. So he moved the center of his administration to Jerusalem, the city of David, Zion, right? And so he wanted the Ark of the Lord to be moved into Jerusalem with him. So, as was his wont, there are so many lessons there. In the days of our victories, do we remember the Lord? That's one whole thing. How do we, you know, when it has happened, do you move the Ark into your house? You know, some of us have diligent prayer lives when we lived in apartments, but when we moved into that big house, the very administration of the house or the big job now prevents us from doing the prayer. So the ark was left in the little apartment. So I pray that we move back to the little apartment with the ark. We know what happens to apartments when arks dwell with you there. So anyway, we get there. So David killed sacrifices, called the band, and they were bringing the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. He was 30 years old, younger than majority of us sitting in this room. We'll start reading. From verse 4, they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill, accompanying the ark of the Lord, and Ahio went before the ark. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments, of fir wood, on harps, on string instruments. He played the tambourine, the sistrums, on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzziah, who was one of the sons of Abinadab, just helping out, put out his hand to the ark of the Lord and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was roused against Uzziah, and God struck him there for his error, and he died by the ark of the Lord. But that's not where we're going. We all know that story. It's the next verse that we're going to, the next two verses. What does the next verse say? And David was angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzziah. And he called the name of the place Perez, Uzzah, to this day. Then what does the next verse say? And David was? Have you ever seen that verse before? He was angry, and then he was afraid. He that dwells in the secret place. I thank God that first verse specified that there are things that the Lord will do that you will not in your flesh agree with. It just wouldn't make sense. Things wouldn't, at times, just don't work the way you expect. It's not the outcome that should be. Here we are, trying to honor the ark. This man did a just thing, and in the justice of man, this is unfair. So, that's the number one thing. Number two thing, I thank God because it shows David was a man like me. So it means I can relate. Because the first impulse is to go, I have been writing psalms about how good you are, oh Lord, how you are gracious to the person that. And what are you going to say? I brought them from their homes. This man was keeping your ark. We all saw that oxen stumble. Your ark would have been embarrassed on the floor. The man did the right thing. You're making a fool of me, Lord. We're studying David so that we see what does the heart of a man who is a friend of God, who dwells in God's secret place, what does it look like? Number one, no matter what your feelings, what your emotions are, as a man who fears the Lord, your trust is still in the Lord. When you are angry, when you are happy, when you are low, when you are high, what is uncontestable is that the Lord is God over me. And it also says it's okay to be real with the Lord. But then he was afraid of the Lord. I want you to think about this and never forget this verse. No man is so much a friend of God that God becomes so familiar with him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The moment that the Lord is our paddy. You know what paddy is, Toby? What's paddy? No. Buddy. Yeah. I doubt if you know his secret place. Our God is a consuming fire. He will be held in honor by all his people. Kings and servants alike. On that day, maybe he knew it before, maybe all he knew was the Goliath slaying God. All he knew before was the Lord who he would cry unto and will help him against his enemies. All he knew before was blessings and victory. On that day, he saw the all he knew before this was that only unrighteous people got punished. On this day, he saw the sovereignty of God, and he was afraid. And David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? If you dwell in a secret place, you will bow down a little bit more reverently. If you dwell in a secret place, you will say his name with a little bit more honor. If you dwell in a secret place, you will approach him with a little bit more trepidity and joy. If you dwell in a secret place, those who saw him, the Bible says they were afraid to look. If you spend enough time in God's secret place, you will have that fear. When I see us Christians at times, we behave as though the Lord is our paddy. I was joking one day that we couldn't even call Brother Paul without putting brother in front of his name. Just flippantly, Jesus, you know. Yet one of the commandments is, what is it? Thou shalt not use the name of the Lord your God in vain. On that day, the Lord revealed another dimension of himself. May he reveal, until we see that dimension, all of those promises in Psalm 91, we can't key into them. I think this was the day that David knew he wasn't in control. The Lord was not a formula, do good, this happens to you, 1 + 1 = 2, when you do this. On that day, he knew that God is to be worshipped at all times. So what did he do? He sent the ark away to someone else's home. And the Lord went, okay, that's fine. You don't want me? That's okay. But what happened to the man? And see, you see, David, you are afraid to bring some the presence of God into your house. And then you say, you want that ark to go and deal with the other person's child. But people, please read this whole chapter. There are too many lessons. I almost can't go on from this verse. The Lord blessed Obed-Edom the Gittite for 3 months. Then he had the news that the Lord had not changed. The Lord he knew before was still the same God that blesses. And then David, the man who dwells in God's secret place. No matter the state of your mind, your heart will always be drawn to the Lord because your trust will be in him. So David said, oh, that's what's happened. I want blessing too. Come, bring the ark back. So they went and they brought the ark. So he called the musicians again. He made the same sacrifices. The man who dwells in God's secret place, verse 14. What did David do? The key of David. The key of David. Now, you know, when the Spirit of the Lord moves within my heart, I will dance like David. Did this scripture say that the Spirit moved in David's heart and then he danced like David danced? Like, it was a deliberate act of worship. It was time for rejoicing. He rolled out the drums. And I want you to know who is dancing here. You have one of the most handsome men in the whole of Israel. Ever, hands down. You have the greatest king in Israel that ever lived. I mean, I don't know whose kingdom we could have compared to the kingdom of David relative to his time. You had a man who was a warrior. You had a poet, a Nobel, I mean, I will stake the sands against any literature, work of literature in the past 300 years. Hands down, David will win the Nobel for each chapter every year. In literature, at least. Brilliant mind. A wise man. An experienced warrior. If there was ever a man that was not supposed to be able to dance, that would be David. He that dwelt in. No matter what their names are, you call them men of God. And you are special. You see, when you come before the Lord, you are not special. Speciara. You are all special. We are not speciara than other people are special. Okay, special. The secret. Does God look at you and say, of all the people sitting here, this person doesn't care. It's all about me to him. Then we all know the story. The wife, who was a princess, went You're a whole king of Israel. No wonder you were a shepherd boy. You really don't know how to be honorable. I was born a princess. I know how my father Saul conducted himself in the presence of the people. With a stiff upper lips. You know. Huh? What? What? No.
Nothing.
Okay. No. Of course you are born in poverty. Only poor people dance this way. You didn't go to, what do you call them? Finishing school. How can you dance this way? I don't want to, I want us to finish. Real quick. Please read chapter 6. The man who dwells in the secret place. Read what David said there and never forget it. To Micah, he said, for David said to Micah, it was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father. We heard about what is happening today in Ekpe. We heard about the privilege. Maybe it takes going there to understand how privileged we are. Not because of anything. How many of us remember that goodness and it stirs in our hearts a worship of the Lord? He said, it was before the Lord who chose me about before your father. I will be even more what? On what? Undignified before my God. I'll be Dino Milano, what's this? Before my father. See, you can do younger, but when you come to the presence of the Lord, when you're in your devotion, please cast. Just see, those were things. And I want you to just measure yourself by the standard of David. Then understand why these things happened for David. And it's hard to happen for us. And begin to pray that our hearts will be conditioned like David's heart. I will be honored in, I will humble myself in my own sight, but as for the maid servant of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor. That's the key of David. A heart that did not form before God. It wasn't composed. I like Niger. Some of their slangs just say it better. Compose. A heart that from experience learned the fear of the Lord. Study this man's life. When his enemy's hands were in his hands, he was the one that said the famous words, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. When they came to him and said, your enemy has died, and by the way, I bring you his head. He said, how dare you? You are not afraid to touch the anointed. Even he had been praying that Saul will be dealt with, though. On the day that Saul was dealt with and his victory came to him, he still, just because the hand of the Lord was upon Saul, the man feared God. Said, and he began to mourn. And people were saying, is this man crazy? He just became king, don't you understand? But even in his victory, he was thinking about the honor, the glory, the majesty of his God. He that dwells in the secret. See, we can do mighty things. If you are not in the secret place, it's nothing. I always remind Christians, unbelievers do mighty things, you know. Check out those skyscrapers. See their brilliance. But if he that dwells in the secret place. The Lord, David knew where his power was. When they captured his kids and his wives, he called for the priests. Is there not someone with an ephod in Israel? Please bring the person. Shall we pursue them? He was a man who, although he had the skills, would shield his sword and go, Lord, what do I do? What do I do? What do I do? Are you like that? We should be like that. He that dwells in the secret place. What do you do in your spare time? Does the name of the Lord, when they mention the name of Jesus, does it cue up a song of grace in your heart? Do you love the Lord more than you love yourself? David loved the Lord. He that dwells in the secret place. He was a fantastic father. He had a warrior heart. But I don't see, when you do seminars on fatherhood, I think David should be your example. All men ought to study David. I've never seen a man like that. Here was a man who had no problem. He was a man who measured out an army of a captive people, not the army itself, all the citizens, and he brought out three lines. He measured up in three lines. What it means is that they will get a long rope, right? All the people are measured up. So with each portion, they will divide the rope into three. Three portions of that rope, he said, slay all of them. This man wasn't squeamish. He said, put them to the sword. He was a warrior. Blood and life meant nothing to him. Yeah, it was a man who could twist a neck with his hand. So we're not talking about it was the same man who was a poet. And this man, for every one of his kids that died or in trouble, his heart was so tender. His little baby unborn, conceived in adultery. The Bible says that the king went there and he was praying and fasting. Lord, spare this child. Lord, spare this child. Lord. The man had about seven wives and several other children. For that child, he was restless. Even his child that betrayed him, Absalom, when they were finally going to fight him, he called his general and said, please, for my sake, treat that boy gently. David, a man after God's heart. Are we like that? So God loved him because of his heart. The key of David, the secret place of the Most High. Father, give to us, I pray, the courage to dwell in your secret place. Help us to fix our hearts, Lord. Help us to make you are knowable. Help us, Father, to, and I know the Holy Spirit will be speaking to many of us, of many things we have to put aside to cultivate your presence. Give to us the courage. I know, Lord, from this secret place, the Goliath will begin to fall. From this secret place, we will know how to... Oh, Father, I remember you also said, taught me how when he sinned against you, and the prophet spoke to the first thing, he said, oh, Lord, I've sinned. I have sinned. Lord, I have sinned. Help us to have a tender heart. To do great things, that's why the glory is never to man, you have taught me, Father. To do great things is small with you. You can use anything. You're a great God. And the instruments you pick are great. But Lord, you said your eyes searches and you're looking for people that you could use. You said with David, I have found a man after my heart. Father, with me, with my brothers and sisters, I pray that our effort will be to ensure to do all we need to do by your word to be people after your heart. Help us to dwell continually in your secret place and to abide under your shadow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord.